Tuesday, Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, in other words, Tuesday.
When's Rosh Hashanah?
This is coming Shabbat to Sunday.
A week from Shabbat.
So, from a Shiva point of view, we're in serious territory, okay? And then, so then we have after that, again, Sunday, I guess.
Or no, Sunday is the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaRichta. Or I should say, Yom HaRichta. Of course, obviously.
More people should have enjoyed it.
Okay, I've gotten all forgotten by Yom HaRichta.
So then again, Monday is Sankt Gedalia.
Yeah.
So then it'll be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, as things stand. We saw Thursday, and what is Yom Kippur?
Monday.
Following, do we have that Sunday, or we don't?
Can.
I don't know. We'll see if we
have it or not.
Not like people be dispersing from there. Okay. So that's the basic schedule for the moment. This year we're learning Masechet Ksuvos, as everybody knows, from the beginning. And I'm not going to predict how far we're going to get, because I've had bad experience doing that. But we'll get as far as we can get and do as much as we can do. Obviously, the first parak of Ksuvos has a well-earned reputation for being very packed, with Shas topics, and it's a well-deserved reputation. It's not a coincidence that there are two volumes. Again, now there are all these new editions, but at least in the old view, in the old versions, there were two volumes of Shita Mechubetzes on Masechet Ksuvos, and only one on Bava Kamma and one on Bava Metzia, and so on, reflecting the fact that not only are the topics very big, but there's a lot of Rishonim, a lot of material on them. So everybody should have access to Shita Mechubetzes. Probably Marmakomos wise, I still I'm attached to my old Shita Mechubetzes, so a lot of times you'll see page numbers and columns, or you'll be giving them, it's in the old versions. If I get a chance, I'll try to see if I can do some conversion. Otherwise, I think it's pretty easy. Part of the, they took all the challenge in the new versions out of, finding, who wrote the pieces to actually tell you. So, we've reached that point. So it should be easy to convert. If there's any problem, you'll let me know. But definitely, Shita Mechubetzes is very important to have. I've said this other years, I guess as recently as 2 years ago. Last year, Shita Mechubetzes Beitzos. Shita Mechubetzes is a different kind of Shita Mechubetzes, obviously. But when we have the Shita Mechubetzes for the traditional Masechtas, and invariably I'm asked the question, is it better to look, at the Rishonim through the Shita Mechubetzes, or just to have access to and read it through the Rishonim? And of course the answer that I always give is both. And the reason is because you really get different perspectives from doing it in these two different ways. When you read the Rishonim straight through the topic, so you get the full perspective of an individual Rishon and the whole sugya. And sometimes that can be invaluable because you realize that there are patterns that you can pick up on, that you can discern, which if you were, interspersing your Rambans with other Rishonim, you might miss that particular point. In that sense, it's good to have the Rishonim separately, even the ones that are fully quoted in the Shita Mechubetzes, just so you get the unified view of the Rishon on the topic. On the other hand, the Shita Mechubetzes, by breaking things up the way they do, gives you the opportunity to sometimes juxtapose. Sometimes when you read a Rishon, you don't realize, that it's saying something different than the Rishon you read before. But if you have, the same discussion, the same piece, it's more repetitive, obviously, but it also, sometimes that extra word or extra answer or differently formulated answer can jump out at you from the page, precisely because you just read the other one earlier. So it's good to have both perspectives. If you don't have time to, to do both each time, so it's a trade-off. You can do whatever you want, but definitely it's good to have access to Shita Mechubetzes for convenience purposes, and it's good to have access to the other Rishonim. Here and there, there's something that the Shita Mechubetzes doesn't have, of course. There's also a lot of material, of course, in Shita Mechubetzes that isn't in the standard Rishonim. Some of the later, material around the time of Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi himself, 15th and 16th century material, which now and then is very interesting. So we have an example of it in the first Mamakovitz that I gave you. Those in Gilionos, sometimes are Rishonim that have sort of appear elsewhere, and sometimes are, again, those later pieces, but sometimes they're interesting. They're a different style, but they sometimes provide an important perspective. So definitely Shita Bebetzis is an important thing to have. Meiri, of course, in addition, it's not represented, at least not Beshita, not systematically, in the Shita Mekubetzis. In Bava Kamra it is, and some other places it is, but in Sugas it's very often not. So the Meiri is very important to have. Otsar Golden is important to have, especially in the first panic of Ksuvas, in the Isha's type of topics. There's some important material there, so you should have access to that. Rabbeinu Kreskes, here and there, there's something, mostly if you have the Ra'ah of Ritzvah, you'll have Rabbeinu Kreskes, all the same line, in Beis Medrash. But here and there, there'll be an important line. I don't know whether you have to purchase it, but you should again have access to it. And now and then it provides an additional point or two. Pretty much, did I leave anything out in terms of the... what?
The Rosh
Mishans. The Rosh Mishans is good to have. That provides you, again, here and there with an expanded view of Tosis, more of a, in some cases, a less refined view of Tosis, which means, more of the working stage, and that can be very interesting, too. Definitely, Tosis, Rosh Mishans is important to have. Achronim, this is a Sefer Hafla, which, is very popular on the surface. I personally, I'll say the same author of the Sefer HaMakni on the Kiddushin, for some of you who learned Kiddushin last year. It's a, it has very interesting things in it, if you, have the patience to go through it. And patience, I mean, you have to, I've said this in the past, learn how to browse sometimes, and how to pick up. Different Achronim are interested in different things, and there are things in Sefer HaMakne and Sefer HaFla which are, very helpful, even if you're focused on the issues and not just the Shaka Bataria. But you have to have patience to go through and find which pieces they are. But here and there, I think it's, it's definitely an important thing to have. Knei Yehoshua is always a very exciting Sefer. Again, there's a lot of material there. Every year there's always somebody this year who seems to go to Knei Yehoshua and point out the good ones. And whoever it'll be this year, we appreciate it in advance. because Knei Yehoshua was an unbelievable Mechai. He was a maverick. And he just came up with certain things that no one else said. But again, there's a lot in there that's very much heavy, Shaka Bataria work too, which I don't say critically, it's just a different style. Maybe one point we'll talk about Dark Yael Limor, somebody asked me last year, I didn't get a chance to think about it, so maybe sometime this year. But there's a lot of material in the Knei Yehoshua, so it's good to get to have access to it. The Netziv doesn't have that much on Ksuvos, which is the things that I would normally look at. Except, the Shultos here and there, there's some important pieces. We'll point them out as we go along. That's pretty much the ones that I know of. What else? What are the other Achronim on Ksuvos that I'm not referring to? Anybody have the what? Sheshmaitza? Well, Sheshmaitza is not on Ksuvos, but of course, right. I mean, when you get to that pass, well, we did this a little bit last year anyway, because we did Sfexneika, but, Paltit below Kulim Yafshar, so I'm sure we'll have to say something about Sfexneika. And you're absolutely right. When you get to Davdes and Davdes, which is some of these issues of Sfexneika, so the Shev Shmaitza is an indispensable Sefer. But I don't care if I'm a Sefer on Ksuvos, that's why it doesn't count. And of course, the Ksos and the Avni and Niluim, all the same author, Shev Shmaitza, Ksos, Avni and Niluim, the Nesivos, and of course, I should have mentioned, the Nesivos or Sefer on Ksuvos, which is important to have. The Beis Yaakov, that's important to have. And he also wrote on Eben Ezer, usually they print it in the same volume. That's an important Sefer to have, no question. Those kind of Svarim, of course, Poskim and Shulchan Aruch, those are always important to have. And we'll be doing some of them, especially on the you know, more practical issues. I'm not saying that we're doing them in a practical way, but certainly the practical issues, we'll want to see the shittos and the poskim in Shabbat. I mean, the issues of Sheva Brachos and some of the issues of how you define the Suin, of course. You know, what constitutes Yichra Lo'ezabiyya, things of that sort. Of course, we'll have to discuss the view of the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosi Kedem. And that's pretty much, there are again better editions of some of the Rishonim, especially now, they have, there's a Ramban. For many years, you know, the Ramban in Ksubas was printed as the Rajban Ksubas. It has an inferior So, anyways, the Kedisha HaRajban, the old Kedisha HaRajban, Ksubas is Ramban, but then somebody in the last 10 years or so published a, you know, Kedisha HaRamban on Ksubas. So, it's a better, you know, text as well. So there's that, and then somebody put out a real Kedisha HaRajban. For years, there was no, outside of Shita Mekubetzos, Kedisha HaRajban, because people thought Kedisha HaRajban was a Rajban, it was really the Ramban. But then they put out the Kedisha HaRajban. So there's actually there are two different versions of it. The Chidush HaRitva, of course, Mosar Kuk has an edition on that. And, let's say, you know, Ksubas is Rishonim rich, and Achronim rich, and Topic rich, and so it's never a dull moment, I think, in any Masechta, but certainly not in Ksubas. Some of the topics are large, which means that, you know, going in, I'm sure it's no secret this is a kind of a topic-oriented shir. I intend to go through the Dapim and the topics on the Dapim, but, you know, some of the topics will definitely, you know, take a little while. You should be aware of that at the outset, and, you know, if that's not for you, so, you know, you should know that at the outset, and, you know, you shouldn't waste time. Otherwise, you know, things are, the topics themselves are very fascinating. That's all I can say. Okay, schedule-wise, you know the general schedule, expectation-wise, preparations, and more preparations, that's the key. The better prepared everybody is, the faster we can also move, and the more topics we can cover, and, you know, with greater depth. That's pretty much, again, I've said this in years past, last year I was totally negligent. I see Mordechai is there in the back, and I think he's supposed to remind me, right? So this year I'll try to. I think I work on that every second year. I'm better. So I'll try this year. Again, I think the only way it really works is if I really put aside one day and dedicate it to Yom HaShkafa, and then do something Kesedar. Some years we did Tepi Avos, some years we did Parsha. It can be topics, but I'll have to figure out the schedule. One year. I don't know if that was seen as Nachum here or not. Nachum Lazar is here. Oh, there he is. Okay. Is Tony here too? We don't have Tony?
Not today.
What? Not today. But you'll tell him that we missed him. So Menachem suggested that I should, you know, dedicate Monday to that. So we tried that 2 years ago in the second half of the year. And it worked out, you know, okay. Then people came to me and said, yeah, but they'd rather spend more time in regular shiur, so we dropped it last year, but then we ended up dropping the shiur. So let me think a little more, but we'll definitely try to carve a specific time of the week and be more serious this year about it. And our every second year track record is good. So then we have a better prospect for this year, but it probably jeopardizes next year. Don't worry about that, about sharing the show. Okay. Let me begin with the topic itself. So the topic, the first topic that we wanted to discuss, is not so much a big topic in the beginning of Ksubas and the Gemara, the topic of Kinyan and Das in Kedushin and Nisuin, but it is, of course, an important introductory topic, since the first parak really focuses on Nisuin. And this question of the relationship between Kedushin and Nisuin is a natural question that arises when you deal with Nisuin. You have to discuss the relationship between the two. And the fact is that it becomes a much bigger issue in the parak itself, as we move forward. Particularly on Daf Zayin. I'm going to leave the Daf Zayin topics for Daf Zayin. But on Daf Zayin and Daf Ches, that's where the Gemara discusses Birchas Eilusin and Birchas Nisuin and the conditions for Birchas Nisuin. And there, of course, there is significant discussion in the Gemara and much discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim about the relationship between the two components of Ishus, Kedushin, and Nisuin. But from the outset already, especially the second topic, pretty much, which is in the Rishonim, the question of how you define chuppah, what is chuppah, cannot be dealt with in a vacuum, I don't think. So it's important to introduce the Masechta and these broader topics by analyzing, by picking a few of the issues or vehicles that reflect the relationship between Kedushin and Nisuin, and that will give us background to appreciate some of the other things that we will encounter. Okay. So, if we look objectively, before we look at this particular issue, it's clear that we need to discuss this problem. Ishus is constituted of these two components, Kedushin and Nisuin. Anytime you have a broader institution that is made up of smaller constituent parts, so you always have to analyze the relationship between them. Like, what do they bring to each other? Are they complementary? Does one complete where the other begins? Is one an introduction and the other is the main event? Or is one the main event and the other is simply the makabapatish? What is the relationship when you have two elements that define a certain status or new status? You're always going to have to discuss the relationship between them. When it comes to Kedushin and Nisuin, we have certain facts on the ground that point us already in a certain direction. Or at least they establish some of the contours of the treatment of the topic. When it comes to Kedushin, right, we have a clear pasuk, right, by Kiseitse, which we read just a couple of weeks ago, by Kiikach Ish Isha V'Allah. So we have a pasuk which establishes the institution of Kedushin. Kiikach Ish Isha, Kicha, is defined by the Torah Shebaal Peh as Kedushin, Erisin. How or what Kedushin is made clear from the very first Mishnah in Masechet Kedushin, as you would expect that it would be, the Masechta dedicated to Kedushin. And it should begin by telling us what Kedushin is. And we're told, Aisha nicknames the Gimel Drachim, by the Kesef, the Shtar, and the Biyah. There are three methods of achieving this Kenyan. Number one, the Mishnah establishes that it is a Kenyan, Aisha nicknames, right? And there are three clear methods that are delineated. Kesef, Shtar, Biyah. Now, of course, these three are quite different from each other, which raises all sorts of questions about the nature of Kedushin. Right? Kesef, of course, is very much a Dinei Mamonos type of Kenyan, so it would appear. You have to check the evidence and see whether or not the fact that the Davar HaNikneh is a Nisha, or maybe it isn't really a Davar HaNikneh at all, but it's more of a relationship, does that affect this Kedushin Kesef, this Kenyan Kesef, make it different from other Kenyan Kesef? But the fact is that that's a huge topic. That's much of the first paragraph of Kedushin. The beginning of the first paragraph of Kedushin, at least, to the Talmud, is dedicated to that problem. But certainly, first impression, Kedushin Kesef implies a Kenyan orientation. Shtar, a little more complicated, but again, it is a Kenyan. The analog of Shtar as a Kenyan and other Kenyanim is something that we're aware of. On the other hand, of course, Shtar also has the parallel to Get. Whether Get is exactly or primarily a Kenyan or more of a Matir is a question. The Kones Atzma B'teis Drachin might be the Get of Anisa Sabal. So that already raises certain important questions. And certainly the third method, which is Kedusha Biyah, seems very far from the world of Kenyanim. It seems to be really a Ishus Halacha in every sense, focusing on the physical intimacy between husband and wife. It almost seems like, you're jumping into the Ishus, even at the moment of the kingdom itself. Or no, maybe that's misleading. Maybe Kiddushei Bia is also a kinyan of some sort. This is a kinyan that is designed for its particular goal here, which is not any kinyan, but kinyanishos. So that's reflected in the derech. But either way, even if these three give us, you know, pause for thought, maybe even different impressions, maybe there are even different approaches to Kiddushin. But the fact is that the Mishnayos and Kiddushin, the Masechta, opens up the way we'd expect it would in defining what Kiddushin is. Not only do we have that apostle, and we have a Torah Shabbat Pan, Mishnayos, where it should be, telling us what we would expect it would tell us, what is Kiddushin. We also know what is really accomplished by Kiddushin, and that is the status, the shame of Eishes Ish. And that status of Eishes Ish generates all sorts of things. Onshin, right, when she is a Pnuya, then Habo Aleha, you know, like Nisa Daraisa, so on, but certainly no Chiyuv Nisa. Once she's an Eishes Ish, we're talking about a Chiyuv Nisa. Moreover, it creates relatives, an extended family, and Isurim connected to that as well. There is a need to dissolve this kinyan with a get or a Misa Sabal, but it needs to be dissolved. We know exactly, in other words, what Kiddushin, where it comes from, what its definition is, and we know exactly what it accomplishes. That is an Eishes Ish with all the attendant halachos of relatives, of onshin, of the need for some sort of a matzah. On the other hand, if we contrast that with Nisuin, right, the contrast is clear and striking indeed. In the Torah itself, right, there are hints of a status of Nisua, but nothing like the Pasuk, Ki Yitach Ishish. There's no Pasuk that tells you, you know, Ki Yisa, you know, Ishalish, or Ish, Es Isha. There's no clear pasuk that speaks about the mice in the suim, per se. Not only that, if you look at the masechta dedicated to the suim, that's our masechta. Masechta at Suvos. And it does begin the suim nises. But first thing it talks about in the Mishnah was suim nises niyam rvi, aman on yom chamishi, right? Good advice to the drabanon, what day you should get married. Nothing about what we would expect, and that is, what is the definition of Nisuin? Surely, that's, you know, at minimum, you know, reason to question whether the parallel between Kiddushin and Nisuin is a strong one or not, whether there isn't more contrast than comparison. Why don't we have a Mishnah that parallels Nisuin? So if it was simply because it's obvious, we all know what Nisuin is, there aren't three, there's only one, and everybody knows it, that might be a good answer. But if you look around, you know, clearly that is not the case. It's the exact opposite. The problem is, we do not have a clear indication anywhere what Nisuin is. We don't have a Mishnah. We have some Gemaras that imply certain things, like the Sugya in particular later on, that Mem Zayin, Masar Av, L'Shluche Habal, and so on. We have some indications. There are other indications, the Yichud. As we know, some of these indications led to shitas and arguments. If you look at Shulchan Aruch, beginning of Hilchos Nisuin and Ibn Ezer, what you'll find is a remarkable halacha, in which, you know, there's a list of possible candidates for Nisuin. This one says this, that one says this. A tremendous argument, what is Nisuin? No one can agree what Nisuin is. But the absence of a Mishnah in Ksuvos, parallel to that of Mishnah in Kiddushin, which is unequivocal, there might be debates about certain details about Kiddushin, Ketzef, and Shtar, and Bia, but that constitutes Kiddushin and creates the Shem Eishes Ish is undisputed. Whereas the definition of Nisuin in its most basic way is completely disputed by everyone because of lack of clear textual information and so on. Again, we'll be dealing with this topic, obviously, and sooner rather than later. the various views of Rishonim. It's evident that, you know, whatever the candidates are, they are not just candidates. Right? They reflect, perhaps, the nature of Nisuin and its relationship to Kiddushin. Again, we should be looking, just as we did just for a second, about the three models of Kiddushin, we should be looking, you know, to try to get some reading on the role of Nisuin from what it is that emerges as the definition of Nisuin. If it's going to be more of an Ishus-oriented kind of thing, more of a Kinyan-oriented, how distant is it going to be from Kiddushin and its methodology? But the striking contrast is that no Pasuk, no Mishnah, right? No incontrovertible evidence. On the contrary, different indications, different shittas Rishonim, and so on. So again, this could all just be a coincidence. It could just mean this is, you know, the fact is that there's a gap in our Torah Shabbat path. It wasn't clear on this particular point. Different shittas in the Rishonim emerged. It's always possible. And it's also possible, this is obviously the position I prefer, that there is a pattern at work here. The fact that there's no clear pasuk, the fact that there's no clear Mishnah, the fact that there are different indications in the Gemara and in the Rishonim, itself is significant, reflects that Nisuin is different than Kiddushin. The impact of Nisuin is also not as clear as the impact of Kiddushin. Again, Kiddushin, we emerge with an Eishesish, as I said. That generates Isurin, it generates Onshin, it generates the need for a Matir. There's no greater requirement for a Get or Bisa Sabau once you have Kiddushin because you've also had Isurin. Right? So it's not that. For Shein Eishesish, doesn't change either. So what does Nisuin affect? What it affects may give us a hint as to what it is that it accomplishes, what it adds or enhances of the issues. So we know certain things, Minat Torah, and there are certain things that, again, maybe only Drabanan, and there are other things that are debated whether they're Darais or Drabanan. But again, it's critical to look at these facts if you're going to undertake this kind of analysis. So, for example, what we know is that the Onesh changes from Skila to Chenek when you move from Erisin to Nisuin. It's hard always to evaluate that, what exactly is the significance of that, because, you know, then you get into Talei Mitzvos, or Barshin and Talei Mikra. Clearly some change takes place in Ishus. It's a change of which Misa, rather than, you know, the shame Eishesish and the fact that there is a Chiyuv Misa. Something is taking place. The shame Nisua apparently is different than the shame Arusa, even though both are dimensions of Eishesish, and that's reflected in the Onesh of Chenek. But more than that, probably, it's hard to say. On the other hand, there are other issues. The Gemara in a number of places, a few of them, Kiddushin among them, says that Nisuin affects things like Yerushas Habal, Hafaras Nedarim, and Tumas Nes. Right, the Baal is Matam al Yishto, he's Mefer Nedaraha, and he is Yoresh Osa. Now, which of these things are Daraisa? Well, Tumas Nes is clearly Daraisa. The Yerusha is a big dispute. And Hafaras Nedarim also, we'll get to it. There's some question about Hafaras Nedarim has some aspect of Daraisa, clearly. That's clear from Psukim. But, you know, what exactly is it based on? That remains unclear. So you have these elements that Yerusha, Hafaras Nedarim, Tumas Nes, that reflect the impact of Nisuin, and they need still to be looked at, to be analyzed. Obviously, even at first glance, they have something to do with the status of She'er and an intensification of the relationship between husband and wife, a more personal aspect of that relationship as opposed to
the legal formal opinion generated by the emissary. Obviously, these things have to do with his ability to control her nadarin, tumat meis, she'ero hakara ve'lav, and that's when sher basar clearly comes into play, as well as Yerusha, which again speaks of their relationship. In addition to the intensification of their relationship, it's possible that Nisuin also eliminates another factor, and it's significant for that reason, and that is the factor of the father, especially in the case of Chana. Faras Nadarim is a great example, but there's this limbo period between Erus and Nisuin where father and husband have a struggle about the status of the wife slash daughter. And in general, we need to look at that question, whether or not the elimination of the father or the ties to, you know, to the family, the previous family, are something that is accomplished by chuppah, by nisuin, or not. Then of course there's the whole area of ksuba. We need to determine whether nisuin generates the chiv of ksuba or not. That's a topic in its own right, but again could reflect the nature of ksuba as well as the nature of nisua. Certainly according to the Rambam, we're going into details right now, but certainly according to the Rambam, it would appear that there's a special link between nisuin and ksuba. Other Rishonim might disagree. As well as some of what we call the Tnai Ksuva, again, some of which may be Daraisa, others are certainly Drabanan, and some which are disputed. She'er Ksus Viona being one area, or maybe being three areas, sometimes we split them up. She'er Ksus Viona results from the Suin, not from Erisin. One of these are Daraisa, what is Drabanan? What is the nature of these? Are they simply kinyanim? Do they flow from the shem nesua, from the kinyan of nesuin? Are the two dinim of nesuin? These are some of the things to look at. So basically, what we've done so far is just noted the different kind of treatment of the Torah, the Mishnayos, the Torah Shebaal Peh, of kiddushin and nesuin, with respect to apostle, with respect to definitions, and with respect to the impact of each of these institutions. Kiddushin being Keshesish, Get, and so on, the Suin being much more subtle and much more limited, but there still being certain things that are Doraisa. Chenek, Tumat Abau, some things which may be Doraisa, maybe Drabanan, and other things which are Drabanan, namely things that we have discussed, the Faras Nadarim being Doraisa, Yerusha being debatable, Sherksus Viona being a discussion, Ksuba, and so on. In addition to all of this, there is another important question. That is heter isha lebala. That depends on a machlokes on Shonim as well, whether that the iser of isha lebala after erusin, before nisuin, is that again a din daraisa or din rabbanan? In the nusach of the birchas erusin, they say va'asar lanu. We say the tivanu al arayos, right? The asar lanu as arusos. The Hitalanu, let's take the standard here so that we use, well, there's disputes about the Yerusalem, so we'll discuss them when we get to that Zayin and Ches, but the Hitalanu is on the Suos Lanu al Yedei Chupa V'Kiddusha. So what is this, the Asa Lanu Esa Arusas? So everybody accepts them. Halacha, that there's an Iser Arusal Arus. The only question is that Drabanan or Daraisa? The Rambam's view, the Rambam calls it the very Sofrim. Clearly the Rambam seems to indicate that this is a drabana. Most Rishonim think that the Isur Arusa, the Arus, is drabana. But the Rishonim disagree. Shidin Shana, Ink Subos, Raibid, the Rishonim on the Suga there, Nazayim Dachetz, who save also one of us Arusos, Yabud Ram, has that Shita, is Daraisa. So again, that's a critical, if it's Daraisa, so it turns out that the Nisuin is Matir Isha Lebala Minasara. That could be an important clue and an important contrast between Kedushin and
and the sewer. So there are several issues to analyze in terms of this relationship. Basically, what we're trying to figure out is, are these two independent kinyanim similar to each other? One does half the job, the other does the other half. I don't mean to break it down in terms of halves so much, but are they really two, you know, similar components? Maybe the differences are attributable to the fact that one comes first and the other is second. One is working in a vacuum to create something from nothing, and therefore it seems more dramatic, whereas the other is completing, and therefore it's more subtle. But the difference between subtlety and drama can be misleading. It's not because they're two completely different types of kinyan. It's just, you know, it's the order in which they come in and what they're trying to accomplish that is responsible for some of the discrepancies that we are already being clued into. Or no, it's more than that. It's not that, you know, one is the beginning and the other is the end, but really they are very different, almost totally different in their function. It doesn't mean that one doesn't complement the other, but the complementary relationship is due to the fact that they're so different.
In other words,
Harrison accomplishes fully what it is supposed to accomplish, and that is Kenyan, Eishasish, I would add, Oser. It's important that it's an Oser before it's a Matir. I'll explain why as we go forward. And Nisuin doesn't complete anything that Harrison touches. It completes the Ishus because it does the things that Harrison doesn't touch at all. And also because its complementary relationship is in its contrast. As it gives you the things that Harrison can't give, can't accomplish. Namely, it's Matir, it's Mashlin, it is precisely because it is interpersonal. That's where its contribution lies. So it's not two halves with the differences being attributed to, you know, working off a vacuum and working off a, you know, a middle state. On the contrary, Harrison is a complete Kenyan for what it accomplishes, and once it does what it does, then Nisuin can do all the things that Harrison never began to do, and does fully in its own right. By the same token, what Harrison did, Nisuin doesn't have to and couldn't, even if it had to, complete. In other words, what we have here are two totally different types of institutions. Then the fact that the Torah Shebe'al Peh and Torah Shebe'al Peh and, you know, what's left to our imagination and therefore subject to dispute and so on, all these things are, you know, dramatic for good reason. It's not just the difference between the first step and the last step, you know, the more obvious and the more subtle. It's the difference between two totally different contributions in the area of issues. Okay. So to highlight some of these things, we should look at several questions. Down the road, when we get to Zion and Dabkes, we need to analyze more fully the question of the relationship of these as a mitzvah. Is Kiddush a mitzvah? Is Chuppah a mitzvah? Is it one mitzvah? Are there two mitzvahs? If only one, which one is the mitzvah? That's a Zion and Dabkes topic, which we're going to leave till then. That has much to do with the nature of the brachos involved and so on. Very crucial topic. By the same token, that is bound up with another question. That is the question of Simcha. Is there Simcha in Eilusin or only in the Suin? Again, if so, does it have to do with the fundamental nature of each of these? Or again, it's just a beginning and end issue. That has, you know, a lot to do with a lot of things. Okay. I'll leave it till we get to it. But certainly that's an issue that is critical. The question of Eidos, and this is Chavilos, comes up in that context. For example, it's just a very simple matter. Machlokas between Poske, Ashkenaz, and Sfaran, folks are shown in. Chachmei Provence, you're in the middle of this one as well. When you do the wedding all in one shot, which we do, do you have one kos for, you know, Birchas Harrison and for Birchas Yisrael? Or is that Enos and Bitsos Kavilos, Kavilos? Is this one kiyum or two kiyum? Again, the more you see contrast between the institutions of Kiddushin and Nisuin, the more
you would want to break up the kosos, which is the psak of Chachmei Ashkenaz. The more you see it as, you know, one integral whole, the more you want to combine them. But of course, you can still combine them for one or two reasons. You can combine them because they're on the same wavelength, and they do the same things, just that one is the beginning, one is the end. Or you can combine them because you can say that the contrast is the complement, which is a more complex position, but it's obviously a position that I'm really trying to push here. Namely, that it's because they are so different that, you know, that they ultimately, you know, integrate together so beautifully. And that's not Kavilos Kavilos either. Of course, there's a Kavilos Kavilos issue here as well. What is it, when do you say Kavilos Kavilos? And when you have a complementary through contrast, you know, is that a violation of the concept of Kavilos Kavilos? Is that Kavilos Kavilos or not? But again, that's an issue. The nuances of the Nusach HaBracha, the order of things, may be critical to this. We will touch on that earlier and later. Maybe can you ever have Nisuin before Erusin? Obviously, if you do Nisuin without Erusin, you haven't done anything. But if you do Nisuin and then you do Erusin, you need to repeat the Nisuin. Does Nisuin have significance in the context of Erusin prior to Erusin? Can you switch the order? That's an important question. Even if you can't, what about the fact that the Nusach HaBracha, at least, you know, seems to imply that, you know, that there is some significance to reversing the order. What is that we're saying? Asher kidishanu v'mitzosav v'tzivanu al harayos. Right? V'asa lanu esanu. V'hita lanu esanesuos lanu. Right? Ayidei chupa v'kidushin. And also in the Chasimus HaBracha, Mekadesh Yisrael, or Mekadesh Yisrael Ayinei, Chupa V'Kiddushin. So there was some Rishonim who had the Ram suggests this, that, you know, that it shouldn't be Chupa V'Kiddushin, it's Chupa V'Kiddushin with a vase. No. And it means Chupa in the context of or after, in the aftermath of Kiddushin. But, you know, most Gersos are with a bub, not with a vase. And then the question is, why do we have this order switched around? So, again, that's an important question about the relationship between these two institutions. The definition of what is kupa, as I mentioned, that we're going to get to very soon, certainly is connected to this. And what we're going to begin with is certainly connected as well. And that is, to what extent is Nisuin a kinyan at all? If kiddushin is defined as a kinyan already, seemingly in pasuk, and certainly in the first mission of the Sefta, so what about Nisuin? Is it a kinyan at all? And if it is a kinyan, what level of das does it require as compared with kiddushin? Okay, so that's really what we want to start with. So this question of the extent to which there is a requirement of das for Nisuin and whether it constitutes a kinyan is an issue that comes up not so directly, but in an interesting way, right in the Bali Tosas on the Mishnah. Okay, so the first Mishnah in Ksuvas begins, the Sulam Yisus Yom Arvi, Amadu Yom HaKhamishi, Mishnah says, Shepamayim Shabbos, Bat Yedin Yoshim Bayaros, Yom HaShem Yom HaKhamishi, Shema Yom HaKhamis, Ksuvas Yom HaShkim Yom HaKhamishi. The Mishnah begins discussing what day of the week you should get married. But before that, it uses the expression Vesula Nises. So some Rishonim were bothered by this term. Why not say no sinus on Vesula? Why Vesula Nises? Why the Nifal? And why the focus on her? So it doesn't seem like, you know, it's necessarily such a fundamental question. And most of the Rishonim, most of the answers that are given, you know, are kind of technical answers. Like the pasuk or lack of a pasuk. Others to preclude all sorts of misconceptions and so on. One of the conceptions that the Bali Tosas, however, would like to preclude, one of those misconceptions is significant. And we have to pick up on that. Okay, namely, there
it is.
Yeah. So Tosas says, if you can read the line just quickly, the second Tosas.
We can have a diagnosis so far as you can have this to be the
Okay. So, of course, this answer, the second to the last, is what intrigues us. If it had said, no sinasakasula, we might have thought that nisuin could take place bal kocha. Of course, whenever you hear that, you know, something could take place bal kocha, you know, your antennae should, you know, immediately pick up that. Is that a normative kind of situation that you can force somebody to, you know, to proceed, to progress to a new stage in a relationship that you build up al kocha? On the surface, no, and not just because we're, you know, all attuned, you know, and politically correct people. The idea of forcing people into a relationship, or even the next stage of a relationship, is, you know, is kind of you know, foreign to us, and so on, which probably is. But because in the world of halakha, more importantly, we also don't find bal kocha as a norm in kinyanim. Right? When there are two parties involved in a, you know, some institution, so generally speaking, we require the assent of both parties. There are some exceptions. Yibum can be bal kocha, so on. Eved relationships can be bal kocha. Ama ibriya can be bal kocha. Things of that sort. But it's not obvious, certainly, at the outset, that nisuin would be comparable to any of those. It seems like a different stage of the issue. And the idea that it can be bal kocha is strange, it's jarring. Okay. So, if it's not just political correctness, but it's, again, a halachic background, that leads us to this conclusion. So, we have to analyze it fully. We have to look for precedents. So, in Tosis itself, right, there's an issue to be raised. Zach, what's the issue to be raised? You just read the line in Tosis, so it's striking. Right, but there's an issue to be raised. The Gemara asks the question, what about Ha'ish Mekadesh, which is the first mission, the second part of Kedushin? And the Gemara itself gives, has this discussion. You have the Gemara in Kedushin in front of you? I came very well prepared for that. Can't say that, you know, this will continue, but. So the Gemara says, Denisni Hachi Ha'ish Kone. The Gemara says, why don't you say Mekadesh? Right, so the Gemara says, okay. Okay, that's important. I mean, we're not learning Kiddushin now, but in the contrast, this idea that, you know, you call Kiddushin because also Kulama Kehekdesh works in very well with the idea that Kiddushin was meant even initially to be an Oser, not a Matzik. I'll explain why, maybe in Ashkaf of it later on, but on its own right, obviously, it wouldn't be Kiddushin proof, but together with other things, the fact that we call Kiddushin simply because Asar Kulam, that's what we're emphasizing at this point, is significant indeed. Okay. But then now gets to the main point.
Yeah. The
Nisni. Okay, that explains it. The Nisni. So this, of course, is very significant. The same eyebrows that are raised in Tosis, you know, should be raised when you read the Shakra Vatari of this Gemara. The Gemara thought that you can be Mekadesh and Isha Bal Korcha. The Maskana, which is Midaita Inch, Midaita Lo, you know, that's not particularly significant. Right? All right, good. It's not so. How many of us would have thought, you know, that that it would be such a possibility? You know, how many of us would need the word Isha Niknes to teach us But you can't force an Isha to marry her, to marry you. Miri says it in an interesting way. And he says, he says in a pragmatic way. I've always felt that he meant something more than a pragmatic way. He says, you just can't operate a society like this. People go and walk the streets and they meet somebody who isn't marry and they force them to marry them. It's just not conceivable. It's just not. It's not a lack of political correctness. It's not socially doable. But I think what he means is more than that. That is, there's no link between these people. How would one person impose his will on another person with whom he has absolutely no relationship? I would characterize it. There's not even zero. You could talk about imposing will one person on the other when they're in a relationship. Right? In the context of that relationship, either to take it to another stage or to extract something, from it. So you could talk about there being, a senior partner, a junior partner, and the exercise of will, and so on. But when people don't even have a relationship, they're not even connected to each other. How can anybody impose will upon another person? There's simply no framework for it even. I guess Miri is bothered by that as well. It's startling that the Gemara would have a Havamina that there could be a Kinyan Bal Karcha in Ishus, in Kiddushin. The Gemara's Maskana, they say, is less controversial. Kipshuto. Although it raises a different kind of question. That is it sufficient to have the das that we have in any other Kenyan relationship? Or is the Gemara telling us that you need more than that? When it comes to Isha Niknes, when it comes to Kiddusha Isha, that the level of das required is more than regular or routine Kenyan. That would certainly be a possible reading of the Maskana, especially if you reread the Havamina. Is there a way to read the Havamina that the Gemara never really thought that you could pogea Isha Shuk and you could force her to be your wife? As I said, that's socially inconceivable, halachically inconceivable because there's no tzirah. And if there was tzirah, if this is any kind of a kinyan implies das on behalf of the Kohen and the Machnim. Rather, the Gemara had something else in mind. So we'll see this in just a second. But before we get to that, I just want to bring it back to Tosis. So Tosis is really invoking the Havamina that the Gemara had with regard to Kiddushin as a Havamina with regard to Nesuit. But what's interesting, the question then needs to be raised, is something that's exactly the same. To what extent should we look at these two developments as being dependent upon each other? Now, is Tosis saying, if you came to Mishnayos in Tuvis without reading the Gemara in Kiddushin, right, you might think that there's Bal Karcha in Ishus. You can marry her Bal Karcha and you can complete the marriage Bal Karcha. Is that what Tosis is saying? Or, you want to say the or?
I don't know if you word
that. Thanks, Dad.
I was going to suggest it that, given our institution, right, obviously, the sort of fact that the social or religious position that you can be in a college Bal Karcha, that has a lot more weight to it. But in the case of the suit, since there already is.
Absolutely, I set that up.
They're pretty much everything up.
Good. Which leads us to the or.
Greater danger to worry that perhaps there is an issue of Bal Karcha and it's not so.
Excellent. Obvious. Which means, and that is the or, you're absolutely right. Right, what's the name? Everybody who's new should. The old people can also reintroduce themselves if they want, but certainly anybody who's new always just in the beginning tell me your name.
Aaron.
Is your first name?
Yes.
Not just a tree, a very powerful tree. and what's your last name?
Lieberman.
Aaron Lieberman.
Like
presidential. Former, one who's that close to becoming together. Okay. And more important than a board member of the OU. I think he's also a senator, but they a member of the OU, sorry. Okay. So now this is very good. In other words, one way to read Tosis is to say, again, if you're ignorant of the facts of Halakha, so just like you could have a Havamina regarding Kedushin, you could have a Havamina regarding Nesuin. But the point is that if I were to bring to your knowledge, right, the fact that, by the way, there is such a discussion in the second Kedusha. Right, and the Gemara did have the Havamina, and the Gemara said, Ha'isha Niknes,
midaita in shelo midaita ba. So then, of course, you would know that it's inconceivable here as well. That's one way to read Tosis. And if you look at the Tosis Rash Mishans here, I think that's what Tosis Rash Mishans. And I think the simple Pshat of Tosis probably that way. And I think it's a little clearer in the Rash Mishans. That that's what the Gemara is saying. Just like you would have the Havamina there, you have the Havamina there. And of course, if if you were to be clued into the fact that it doesn't work there, you would know that it doesn't work here. Or no. Another way to read Tosis is the way that Erez is reading it. And I think that's clearly the way that the Sheet of Kubetzes. Anybody have the Sheet of Kubetzes? That one you look at? Exodus? Page, what was it? Page 3, column 2? Or was it page 2, column 3? Can't be page 2, column 3. It's got to be page 2, column 3. No? No one has the Sheet of Kubetzes? It didn't come? It wasn't on the list? Everybody's looking at me as if they'd never heard of this. Did anybody get to take out the Marshal?
What? We just didn't bring it.
Oh, but okay. But you saw it. Or the Marshal said the same thing in Chas Shalom, Alatar. And that is that even if you were, where were they reading Tosis is, even if you have, Mayor Raman, even if you were to know the conclusion of the Gemara in Kiddushin, that midaita in shalom midaita lo, you could still legitimately raise the possibility of a Bal Korcha in Nisuin. And the Shidduch Betzes doesn't use the same words, but says something very similar. That's his reading of Tosis. Namely, this Tosis isn't saying that if you're an Amaretz and you don't know the first daf and the second Kiddushin, or if you believe that it was written by the Sabaroyim and therefore it isn't in your text. So you could be misled, even if you're not, you know, an Amaretz. So, we'll correct you here in Tzuvas. If you weren't corrected already in Kiddushin. But if you did know, then you would know that in Ishus it's Midaita in Shalom Midaita Lo, and that stands true for Nisuin as well as Kiddushin. I think that's the simple reading of Tosis, and that's certainly the way the Rash read Tosis and said it. But the Marshal and Shiduk Betz are saying no. What Tosis is saying is, even if you're a big Bal Korcha and you have the Girsa as we have it, and you know that Kiddushin is not Bal Korcha, it's only Midaita in Shalom Midaita Lo, but what about Nisuin? Now this what about Nisuin then becomes a very interesting question. So I think that there are two basic ways to approach it. Maybe three, but two of them are very similar to each other. One is to say what Erez just said and what Marshal again said. That is, you're already within a certain framework and context. I said before that, one of the reasons, or really two reasons why Bal Korcha in Kinyanim is going to be a problem. Okay, one reason is the second reason is, let's say, it's in the nature of Kinyanim that it be consensual, all things being equal. Those Kinyanim are going to be like that because of fundamentally what a Kinyan is. A Kinyan is an agreement that expresses itself, by means of a certain vehicle, symbolic vehicle. How much das, how much maisa Kinyan, that can be discussed. Maybe different Kinyanim are different with respect to that issue too. But the fact is that it's in its nature, it's a consensual, it's an agreement kind of a thing. That's the second reason. The reason I mentioned the second reason first is because it's in the nature of what a Kinyan is. The first reason just happens to come first, and it's just so basic that it has nothing to do with Kinyanim, it has to do with the issue that we raised before. Namely, there's no framework, there's no tzirus. That there's no way for me to impose my will upon you unless I have some previous relationship with you vis-a-vis this particular thing, because otherwise we're just not connected in a way that I can impose my will. The idea of imposing will only makes sense in the context of a relationship. So the point is that when it comes to Kiddushin and Nisuin, here's where the big difference arises. Kiddushin, there's no relationship. We're not connected, me and this woman. So even Lu Yitzu, you could say that from a Kinyan point of view, you could do it. But there's just no framework for it. There's no theorem. But if I say, I could then say, well, that's the difference between, whether there is a framework or this. For example, Yibum is Bal Korcha. maybe even Bar Kocha, because there's already a framework, the serum, there's a connection. Where's the connection from? The fact that she, you know, was married to my brother, he died, believe, you know, the Hakim Shem to Yisrael. That connects us. The context of being connected, maybe there is Bar Kocha, maybe I'm Ivriya too. Maybe Abba Ivriya is not because of the Shifcho side so much, again, it's not our topic for the moment, but because once there is Tzirut, once there is a link between the parties, maybe Kinyanishus could be Bar Kocha. So if I were to say that, I could say Nisuin in its fundamental nature is like Kiddushin. In the sense that if one is a Kinyan, the other is a Kinyan, there's similar types of Kinyanim. How could there be a Havamina, according to the Marshal, according to the Shidmukubetsis, Zim Tosis, how could there be a Havamina Bar Kocha for one and Dafkin Adaita for the other? Yes, it's because practically there's still a big difference. Namely, the existence of this framework, of this context. That's one way to say it. The other way to say it is to zero in not on issue number one, but on issue number two. And then, of course, it's much more fundamental to the question that we're interested in. Namely, even if maybe the problem in Midaita in Shalom Midaita Lo is not a problem of context. Maybe even if there was a context, Kiddusha would be inconceivable Bar Kocha, just because it's a Kenyan. First and foremost, it's a Kenyan, and Kenyan implies consensual and so on. Yibum, there is a framework, and apparently it's a different kind of a Kenyan. It's a Gemar. Again, this has to do with the nature of Yibum, which is obviously not for now. Different perspectives on how exactly Yibum works. But one could argue that the Bar Kocha of Yibum isn't only because it's a framework, but because the nature of that Kenyan is different. So then if I continue to say that Nisuin might be like Yibum, but I'm saying something about Nisuin, not because structurally it comes second and there's already a relationship, but because Nisuin, there's no Pasuk, there's no clear definition, the Kenyan has already been, she's already an Eish HaSish, what am I doing through Nisuin? Nisuin is some sort of a Maisa, a Gmar. Maybe the only reason that I need Nisuin is because artificially the Kiddushin has been held back until the Nisuin. Just to give an example of what I mean, you know, again, the Rambam begins Sefer Nashim, Hilchos Ishus, you know, by telling you, you know, that, you know, B'tchila used to be in the old days, you know, Adam, Togeya, you know, Isha B'shuk, Ratzahu, Ratzahi. The Rambam tells you history, begins with history. So that's a question in its own right. Why does Rambam begin Hilchos Ishus with history? But he begins with history. What's the point of that? So maybe what the Rambam is telling us is that the Kiddush of Dvar Torah, of Sinai, the Rambam says, now, once they, Klal Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, so then they changed Ishus. Now, there's a Kiddushin, followed by a Nisuin, and so on. The Kiddush of Matan Torah was that there needs to be a Kenyan, that Kenyan needs to be witnessed by two Eidim, Hidikiyu, and so on. And then, and only then, is there a Hidikisha, Labala, through Nisuin. The Rambam breaks up. That's kind of good. Of course, Ishus, when Rambam begins to speak about Nisuin and the Matir and so on. So the point may be that basically this splitting up of Ishus into two components, Kedushin and Nisuin, is artificial. Meaning, all things being equal, the natural thing would have been that the Kenyan of Kedushin would have completed the Ishus, and there would be a Hatter, Ishus and Labala. The Torah decided not to do it that way. They decided that it's better for Ishus that it be split up into two. But that doesn't mean that the concept that a Kinyan and Ishus should lead to Hetzer, Ishul, Labala isn't still alive and well. It doesn't mean that we should look at Kupa as a kind of an equal. In that sense, you might argue that it's not a regular Kinyan. Maybe it could be Bar Kocha, not just because it's a framework. Number one, the stronger party can impose his will. No, that's not enough. But the real point is that what's important about Chuppah is the Maisa. And the basic das for Nisuin as well as Kiddushin has already been given at the time of the Kiddushin. It's been held up because the Din Torah wants to split it up in this way. So all it's lacking is this artificial Maisa to complete what already, you know, the template is already there. That could be Bal Korcha. And that has to do with the nature of Nisuin's contribution, not the fact that structurally it comes second and that there's already a relationship between them. In that sense, it could be parallel to Yibum, too. Yeah.
According to the second way that we explained it, you would expect that every component that not can be done is doing could be Bal Korcha not having enough. Whereas in the first way we explained it, you might expect that to be, just because of the sitter won't give the Antolo card one, that they might be spending in doing
different. Well, except that then you have to address another question. I think you're right, structurally, but then you have to address another question, and that is whether the other things that flow from the suing just flow from the shame of Sua, or the chuppah itself can be broken down into more than one part. Because does the suing or chuppah accomplish several things at the same time in different ways? It's one action, maybe, but I would say the Sheriff Susa the Ona and the Heter Isha Labala, maybe they're different aspects of chuppah. Or do these other things flow from the fact that there's no longer an equal in the shame of Sua, in which case you might be right, but there would still be no mafia either, because once you were able to implement the Bal Korcha completed Shein Nesua, Mimela, these other things would flow, you know, simply because the result was de facto there was a Shein Nesua. So I think you're right, but we have to, we'll discuss that. Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of the general idea. Perhaps even if someone that isn't around doesn't know about it, you can perhaps still tell them. And I'm wondering if this might be maybe a manipulation of the second position, or perhaps I'm wondering if this is maybe the third position, that you could say, look, the general character of tradition is to be master, to make things master, whereas the general character of Nisuin is to make things mutter.
Right.
And as a result, you can somehow do Nisuin Bal Korcha, because all it's doing is, in general, making the woman's life easier, right?
You mean the Torah Zaken, you're saying?
Yeah.
Except that you have to, it's an interesting perspective. I'll answer you in two ways. Number one, that'll get you into a discussion that we're not going to get into now, and that is whether there's such a thing called Zaken Bal Korcha. So, that's an issue that comes up in a few places. How objective or subjective is Zaken? Number one, and this is something called Zaken Bal Korcha. For example, that's the debate between Rajba and the Ritzba in another Rishonim, Rajba and Shin Zaken, in Kiddushin Bat Chavgimel, the context of Eved Kanani, that they debate that point. The broader question about Zaken being objective or subject, that's a question. Sabach, the Amra, so again, some of you here were going to learn Gittin some years ago, that's a huge issue there. Right. So the end of Yavamas, and but what about a Mukashkin? What about so if you were to conceive that there's a notion of Zaken Bal Korcha, and you were to assume everything about Nisuin is only the Tova Seisha, so then you might take that argument. Clearly Tosus is not operating with that. Tosus is saying you can do this Bal Korcha, it's not saying you can't Zaken. But I think it's an interesting idea. Most Rishonim, I really think, comes to the conclusion that there's no Zaken Bal Korcha, just because they think that either it doesn't work, or because the second that it's Bal Korcha, it's not Zaken, meaning you do take the subjective aspect into consideration. Where it also comes up in a different way is in the Arsameach, which I put on the list, Targud Halacha Beis, where he discusses the problem of Chavla Achrim. Is there any Chavla Achrim? Does anybody lose by the act of Nisuin? He discusses in terms of the Achim, which I'll get to. It's already an Ishus, and she's an Ishus Ish. Right, does anybody suffer? Are there any adverse impact whatsoever going the next stage from the Nisuin? So he discusses that problem. If there is, then of course, even if there was Zaken Bal Korcha, it wouldn't be Zaken. If there's not, then your case could be made. Clearly, Tosfos is working with that, but I think if you were to assume these two points, then it might be something to look into. Okay.
Maybe say that if we say that the reason why Erisim doesn't work about Korcha is a fundamental lack of consensus in Bas Matna, and then we're forced to say that we assume the work about Korcha is a fundamental lack of consensus in Bas Matna, and then it's all possible to say that be close to you. She's ready to give her services to provide us with Das Machina.
Well, I don't think he can provide her with Das Machina in the sense that, you know, that it's the structural equivalent as if she, you know, was saying the roots on you. But again, I don't think Tosis is working with that.
And doesn't even lower the barrier?
Well, if it lowers the barrier enough, it lowers the barrier because you don't need that kind of kinyan anymore. And once you say that, you're saying pretty much what we're saying anyway. So I'm not sure if you're looking at it from that point of view, you know, it becomes a matter of semantics more than having a substantive difference. Okay. Of course, the question that we're raising is all about a habamina and tosis, and two ways to read that habamina. That could still be more than food for thought. Is there any echo to maskana of this? So the maskana tells us that very clearly, whether, you know, in parallel to the sugya kedushin or whatever you say about kedushin, this is an issue to raise here, but clearly the maskana, the diuk is being made. Aisha Basula rather me says that Bal Korcho does not work. Does that mean that Lamaskana, the requirements of Das, are equivalent between Kedushin and Nisuin, or are there still ways to try to establish that there are discrepancies between them? Even if you require Das, what level of Das is required? That's something to look at. For example, just technically, if you look at the Rambam, right, so again, Perek Dalet, Nosishas Halacha Aleph, anybody have, you should all have Rambams with you. At all times, also in Shir, but wherever you are. Okay. Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph. Eina Isha Miskadeshes El Meritzoma. Bar Kadish Shemakarcha Eina Mekudesh. The double language in Rambam is food for thought. I don't know if a lot of time to really do that. I don't want to get too deeply into this topic. I want to just use it as an introduction. But I just pointed out for anybody who wants to pursue it further. Why does Rambam have this double language? But he begins clearly with Eina Isha Miskadesh, it's on its own. Okay. The parallel we would expect to find in Paragyud, Hilchos Ishas, Halacha Aleph. That's where the Rambam makes the transition from Inyane Erusin, Kedushin, in other words, to Inyane Nisuin. So we should open it up, and we should expect to find Eina Isha Nisais, Ela Yudaita. But we don't. Nowhere in Perek Yud does it ever say Eina Isha Nisais Ela Yudaita. Oh, Rusa Asura Levanam Debrei Sofrim, that's what we begin with. Kozman Shiva Beis Aviha, Habala Rufasa Beis Kamed, Makinos Amakas Mardus, Apilim Kinshira Biyasa Lava La Abdiya Shnia, and in Yichud, and Kimichin Nikasa Rusa Mechupa. There is no mention in all of Perek Yud or what follows of the requirement of Das parallel to what we have in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph. Now again, you could say that's because it's obvious. Whatever says about tradition applies to the suing. Or it's not obvious at all, and the Rambam is telling you that you require Das and Kedushin in the Isha. And you don't require Das. Now, I'm not going so far as to say that the Havamina of Tosis exists in the Rambam, that the Rambam thinks that you can be no say Isha Balkar. I didn't say that. I just point out that the Rambam lists the requirement of Das for Kedushin and doesn't or omits any such requirement in the Sukkah. That doesn't mean it can be Balkarcha. Indeed, there are a number of Gemaras that, you know, seem to indicate that you cannot be no say Isha Balkar. For example, Sugin Kasudis Menkes, that I already made allusion to. Masar Ha'av Shluke Habal. And so on, it sounds like, you know, she has to be given over voluntarily. Or the Sugin Kedushin Da, then Dalet and Memhei, which we'll get to soon. Tana Shanise Shalom Das Aviha. It sounds like the father needs to be consulted. Now, again, it could be that both of those contexts are contexts where she's a Tana and there's a father. So then there is a different issue, and that is, you know, competing control over her. As with respect to Nidarim. So, is it a coincidence that the two Gemaras that, you know, explicitly speak about, you know, the ability or the need for some sort of an agreement are Gemaras that talk about Ketana and deal with the father. To eliminate the father, he has to agree. He's a factor in terms of So it's not a factor. But maybe she's a gadola, and she's already mikudeshet. Maybe it could even be bal kocha. But I hesitate to say such a thing. The Gemara, for example, condition of hand of base, tries to prove that kupa is a kinyan, and the Gemara tries to bring a raya from here and from there. And at one point, the Gemara says, "Well, ma hatzara shava shebehen shekinyan and bal kocha." The Gemara implies that kupa is not bal kocha. I don't know. Is that Gemara only in the context of the existence of a father? I doubt it. What I'm really trying to say is, I don't know if there's absolute proof for the Gemara's that when Av is out of the picture, there can't be Nisuin Bal Karka, but certainly we get the impression that there's no Nisuin Bal Karka. But still, there could be a Diuk in the Rambam. Why does Rambam need to spell out Das for Kedushin when he's not spelling it out with respect to Nisuin? Maybe there's no Bal Karka, but maybe the Rambam is saying you require positive Das in Kedushin, and you don't require positive Das, just that it shouldn't be Bal Karka in Yisur. That's something certainly to consider. Especially if we were to conclude that Das, Isha, the Kedushin, is more than what's required in the routine Kinyan. Namely, not the simple Havamina of the Gemara Kedushin, but its exact opposite. And that is something which there are plenty of Makoros for, that maybe Kedushin requires more than routine Das. And if that's so, then at least we can ask the question, good, does this special additional requirement of Das, in other words, instead of asking Bal Karka, let's ask, everybody agrees you require Das, but do you require the routine Das of Kinyanim, or the higher level of Das of Kiddushin for Nisuin? And if indeed there is a discrepancy, again, we can always say, well, because the context has been established, but certainly it would also appear to reflect that the role of Nisuin in what it accomplishes is different than the role of Kiddushin in what it accomplishes. Yeah. Name?
What would be that super, like, that super dot? What makes the difference?
Why would you need it?
No, what would be? Like, what?
Yeah, how would be reflected?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So let's discuss that for just a minute. So let's turn our attention, just for a couple of minutes at least, to the sugya in Kiddushin. So the Gemara in Kiddushin had this fascinating Havamina. And then it came to the conclusion, Midaita in Shalom, Midaita in Shalom. If we're reading it without any of the Mepharshim, so we would say the Havamina is incredibly striking, big Kiddush, and the Maskana, you know, is nothing, you know, to nothing special to talk about. It just establishes that Kiddush is not less than regular Kiddush. However, there are those who have different perspectives about both the Havamina and the Maskana. I wanted to mention very quickly, because we're not reading Kiddushin now, but just to establish the context. First of all, there are some Rishonim who say there never was such a Havamina. The Gemara never really thought that you could be Pogea Isha B'Shut and force her to become your wife. Never was such a Havamina. Okay, who takes that perspective? Anil? No, well, the Meir, he just can't believe it. But he read the Gemara that way, he just says, isn't that shocking? Right? On the contrary, the Meir seems to have read a Ketuto, otherwise he wouldn't be so, he wouldn't be so incensed by the whole thing. Right? Mashi Yatsa Lonim Imat, Vimeno Lidian Psak, this is page 8 in the Meirian condition. Shaiisha Inim Skadash is Balkar. On the contrary, the Meiri takes seriously the Havamina. And even the Maskana is saying, well, you know, Pasuk doesn't make it perfectly clear that it's not with us. I find that so fascinating. It's not a serious Havamina. Never mind the Maskana, you don't have to be bothered by the Pasuk. But he is bothered by the Pasuk because he did take the Havamina seriously, but he's so incensed that even though he admits that the pasuk is in Mukhrach, he says it's just inconceivable. It's logically inconceivable. I don't need a Malkar. That's the end of the sentence. It's not an interesting methodological point. He's making the case for Kiddushin Bal Karka here. He gets Bal Karka. Uva'ala sounds like Bal Karka. Ki Yikach doesn't have to mean if, it can mean when. And these are subtle little points, but
Boy, does he take this seriously. It's more striking because he takes it seriously, but he rejects it without evidence. I mean, he acknowledges that there's no evidence. He just says, it's far as inconceivable. Again, as I said before, that on its surface, that's a practical statement. But it's, you know, the kind of practical statement that carries tremendous weight. I mean, it's inconceivable. No society, and certainly not a halachic just society, you know, can operate on the basis of Kiddushin Bakar, Lo Yinach Nabas, Avraham Avinu. V'harei af b'shar dvarim ein shum nekach niskayim ba'onis. It's inconceivable. This is less than kinyanim. You can't force him to sell his cow, Bal Korcha, but you can force his Isha to give up her life, Bal Korcha. Now, getting married is not a bad thing, but getting married to the right person is not giving up anything. It's a relationship. But if one can be forced into it, then it would be. It would be slavery. It's turning everything on its head.
It's so interesting.
Meaning, right, it's true, evil is Bal Korcha, but you need to exert a custom for that. Meaning, even in the context of Gemar or Siruf, or both, there's something that connects these people together. You can talk about an imposing of will, and not only that, the Torah wants this relationship. Or the Hakim, you know, shame be Yisrael. And even then, you need a Keres HaKasuv to teach his Bal Korcha. So what's he saying? A, it's inconceivable. B, it's not less than a regular Kinyan. C, even the Kinyan Ishus, which is Bal Korcha, Yibum, which has many things to justify it being Bal Korcha, even that needs a Keres HaKasuv. Bechein the Get, also Get makes sense Bal Korcha. You're in the relationship already, and it's to end the relationship. So one of the parties, the dominant party, he can end it Bal Korcha. Misvar, that's not such a problem. The Zol Lo Yinach Nabas L'Avraham Avinu, it's not against Kinyanim. You can have a unilateral withdrawal. Maybe you can't unilaterally force somebody to give you something, but you can withdraw unilaterally, conceivably. So Get and Yibum, the two exceptions, and Ishus, both require Psukim. Ha'isha the Alma, Enim Iskadesh is Bal Korcha. Okay? So that is the position of Yiri. He, more than anyone else, I say, reflects two opposite tendencies. The tendency to read the Havamina totally seriously, to go even further than that and say, well, what about it? The pasuk and the evidence, how do you know it? But then to make an axel 180 degree and say, you know, this is just not doable, it's not conceivable, there's no tziruf, there's no society, this is not consistent with what we know of Kinyanim. These and the other issues, situations are excessive costs. Who's the opposite perspective, Jeremy?
Rajma.
Excellent. What does the Rajma say? Exactly. The Havamina should not be taken. Why shouldn't the Havamina be taken seriously? Because the Rajma says it's no Gar Mikinyanin. What do you mean? The Gemara thought Kedushin, which is the most important decision of his life and her life. That you can do Bal Korcha, but you can't have Kinyanim Bal Korcha. Sada is not Bal Korcha. Para is not Bal Korcha. But it is Bal Korcha. Rajma says it's totally inconceivable. Now again, the power of the argument, you know, is reinforced in this case by the lack of evidence. Right? Now as you read the Gemara sounds like that's what it says. So good, come hard and strong like the Meiri and the Maskala. The Rajma says, forget about it. It couldn't have even been such as inconceivable that there was such a Havamina. So you have to reread the Gemara. And how do you reread it, Jeremy? So what is the Gemara talking about? Taluya v'zavin equivalent, which is Taluya the Kaddish. Well, not only the Kaddish, really, because that's the shotgun marriage on the Baal. But I guess Taluya u'tehe the Kudesh. Okay. I used to correct my dicta for time. I stumble. Basically, in other words, so what's another way of saying what, Jeremy? That the Gemara's Havamina was what? Good. That we said already, but he didn't say it sharper. What was the Gemara's Havamina? Kiddushin? Fill in the sentence. Because then the mascara becomes important. Maybe. Yeah? Exactly. The Gemara's Havamina was Kedushin is the equivalent of Kinyanim. Not like the Meiri and the simple Pshat. Kedushin is inferior to Kinyanim. Kedushin is the equivalent of Kinyanim. Ah. Meaning? Because we pass in the Gemara Mabasa, Taluya Bazarim, Zini Zini, Agavonse, Gomer Maknele. Right? When the guy makes you an offer that you can't refuse, and you accept, that's considered Das. It's not the ideal situation, not supposed to do things that way, by the way. But and when it comes to Kedushin, the Gemara says, who wants the Shalaka Hogan? If we're going to do for him Shalaka Hogan, that's a Neymar and Ramashi, the whole discussion there. And maybe Afkina Rabbana on the Kedushin, we'll discuss that. Obviously, that's a topic that's coming up on Sukkot Sunday some days as well. But, okay. But the point is that in the moment, it's talking about the Gemara Machin works. So the Gemara's problem, it wasn't that Kedushin is inferior. What was it? Kedushin is equivalent to Kinyanin. Now the question becomes, so what is the Maskana? The Gemara says, Midaita Inshallah, Midaita Lo. So now we have the possibility of going in the other direction. Not Kedushin is less, as the Havamina and the Maskana, it remains less, but not in this respect, or its equivalent. On the contrary, the Havamina is Kedushin is equivalent, the Maskana is Kedushin is more. Kedushin requires a higher level of Das. Now, in the Rajba himself, Jeremy, continue. In the Rajba himself, this maskana is mitigated. Diluted. Why? Because not only is he have to be mechadesh in the Havamina, he also has to be mechadesh in the maskana. He doesn't have to, but he does. Then he ends up saying, this whole Gemara, don't get so excited about it. Right? The Gemara ends up, the Havamina was a Tzaikinyan and the maskana is a Tzaikinyan. With one adjustment, namely, exactly. It's all about the discussion with the Gemara about the Dindrabanan. The Dindrabanan Ravashi, a Neymar, do we say, who has the Shalom Kahogan, not the Lo Shalom Kahogan, of Kinabon the Kedushin? Do we apply the Dindrabanan that what he's doing is improper or not? But even the Maskana, because that's not saying it's fundamentally the Kinabon, they're saying, of Kinabon the Kedushin. However, there's nothing to prevent anyone who reads the Havamina like the Rajba did from reading the Maskana in a much more ambitious way. Namely, the Gemara says, even though Agavonse Gomer Maknele in Kinyanim, when it comes to Kedushin, it's not enough. You require a higher level and therefore a more unequivocal Ratzon. Midaita Inshallah Midaita Lo, not to the Dindrabanan. Now, when the Rambam says, "Eina isha misper dawar alach alef, eina isha miskadeshes ala midaita, the eina isha miskadeshes bal karcha," so the Nosa Kalim discuss, what is the Rambam saying? Some of them read the Rambam like the Rajba. Oh, the Rambam is more like the Rajba. And what he's saying is that the das that you require is the din of a neymar, that anasa lo shalom kahogen, that there's no taluya b'zavim from the isha perspective. And then the Rambam goes on to say, however, if you put a shotgun to the husband and say, marry my daughter, right, it'll work. Taluya the kaddish, kiddushin, kiddushin. But when you make her, that's also shalom kahogen. She has no way out after all. No get, she can't force the get. And therefore, you know, that's what it is wrong about. However, I said this, we discussed this a little bit last year in the conference of Mosasar. I think the Rambams are all the Shitasam. The Rambam is not a big Afghanu person. We'll discuss it again on the next one. There's no evidence that the Rambam in Dalit Aleph is talking about Afghanu. Or maybe there are two dinim in the Rambam. In Aisha Miskadesh Asana Midaita, as well as Bal Korcha doesn't work. But there's certainly no evidence that the Bal Korcha doesn't work is based on Afghanu Rabban Makadushu. He doesn't say it. And in general, whenever the Afkinu Gemaras exist, the Rambam paskins the halakha, we'll see it, but he always has some different formulation. I was arguing last year, and I'll argue it again, I haven't changed my mind, that the Rambam's views of Tosif and Masasa, whatever, he does not like Afkinu. He really avoids Afkinu as much as he can. He thinks it's a system, halakhic system nightmare. To say Afghanistan, which it is. It opens up, you know, all sorts of things. It's a very unappetizing thing to say. But our Gemara didn't say it, and yet the Rambam avoids it. So is it possible if the Rambam is learning the Maskana, Isha requires more than Kinyanim? So it's an interesting Rebel O'Neill. But this will conclude because we're already well over our time. David? Sally, is it Sally? Michael? Yeah. He also moderates the Havamina. The Rebel O'Neill says the Havamina of Gemara wasn't that you can force her to be your wife. It said if the Shaito, she didn't give you an answer, and then later on she was in the Sratza, so it would be good enough. And what's the Maskana? Well, Medela, what's the Maskana? But he says it explicitly, right? No, you need her assent to Shas Maisa. Not, can't say the Chalosa Kedushin will be delayed until she, the Shas Maisa, she has to agree. What's not clear is what is the status of this issue. It's an interesting question in general. Let's say somebody, you know, puts you off, and then later on they agree. Is that Ratzon for Kinyanim or not? That's not so clear in the Rebel O'Neill. Is the Havamina that Kiddushin is less and the Maskana is the same, or is the Havamina that it's the same and the Maskana is that you require more? Certainly, one could make that case in Rebel O'Neill. In regular Kinyanim, maybe it'd be enough, and Isha is to require more. That's what I'm suggesting for the Rambam as well. According to the Rebel O'Neill, according to the Rambam's reading of the Gemara, it's perfectly legitimate to ask the question, even if Nisuin is not Bal Karcha, which I don't think even for the Rambam it probably is, even in a situation where there's no father, but is it sufficient that it might be not Bal Karcha, that there be regular Kinyanim, or is the higher level of Kinyan required in Kiddushin required here as well? Well, why make the difference? They're both Yishuas? The answer is, if Kiddushin, the difference is twofold. Number one, structural, right? Initiating the relationship, establishing Yishuas, and moving forward to the next stage. That's one. That's a quantitative difference, and there's also a qualitative difference. Namely, maybe Kutba fundamentally is not a Kinyan at all. Maybe it's a Gemara Yishuas, maybe it's a Matir, and therefore, maybe it requires less than a regular Kinyan or the same as a regular Kinyan. But there's no Yitzchuas, Chalos, Shein, Asian Sish. There's no equivalent at all to what you do in Kiddushin. Therefore, the Rambam doesn't mention it, not because you don't need Das, but because you don't need Das in some special way other than any other transaction or agreement between people. Now this question, whether or not Kiddushin requires higher Das, lower Das, the same Das, is the issue that seems to be debated among other Rishonim as well. Now, I'm going to stop here, but the Rashi, of course, in Kiddushin and Dalit, Amud Aleph, it's mentioned one minute, equates, the Gemara there says that Kiddushin requires, Isha has to agree, like any other Kinyan. The Rashi says, yes, like any other Kinyan, it requires Das Matir. That's Rashi, Kiddushin, Daf Mem Dalit. Then, of course, there's the famous Rashi in Yohannes, Daf Yitessun Beis, which is quoted on the side of the Gemara in Kiddushin Beis on the day, where it sounds like there's a special zeres of the Yom Sabahoysa that establishes the requirement of Das in Kiddushin. Sounds like it's not the equivalent of Das Machne in other Kinyanim. But how to understand Rashi, again, could go two opposite directions. Either what we're saying is, it's not Bal Karcha, but it's still less than other Kinyanim. You need a care of the cost. Or the opposite. Not only do you need the Das Machne, of course, our Kula, but there's an added requirement of Kiddushin of Das. Then there's the Rashi also in Brachos, which sounds like there's a requirement of Das in Nisuin, in the context of Rivka. Contrast that, again, with the famous Ran and Dari, Naflamen. Ran and Dari, Naflamen is a very famous formulation where he says that the Isha's Das is not a positive das, but it's a lack of objection. Just the mashma atzma kehafker, and then the condition will take place. It's a very radical view of Ran. That's the Ran's view of das isha. In other words, even the maskana, he doesn't say kiri bal karka, he agrees to the maskana of the Gemara, but the echo of the habamina, bal karka, can be found in Ran's formulation of what das is, the maskana.
So we have three perspectives about God's Kiddushin. I'll go into much more detail. The same as regular Kinyanim? More than regular Kinyanim? If you read the Gemara, the way the Rashba does the Nach for Maskana, we are reading Rambam. Right, maybe Rashi, Devam, Mitzvah, what's the Tessin base? Maybe the Rebbe on the Old. Or less than regular Kinyanim. An echo of the Havim. Maybe the Ramadan Darin, maybe some of the other reasons. In light of that, the question is then what about Nisim? So maybe we have this. Of course, this effect.